Amen. Thank you for the music. I want to speak to you this evening on the meaning of life. I probably could have advertised at the newspaper and had the place filled to capacity because everybody wants to understand the meaning of life. You know, man's uniqueness is that we have a sense of awe about life, the mystery of life. Ecclesiastes 3:11, God's made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know many of you all love your pets. Your pet worried about tomorrow? Is your pet worried about retirement? Is your pet worried about having to end up in a nursing home? Is your pet worried about having a heart attack or a stroke? Or is your pet worried about getting laid off down at the factory? They don't care about any of that stuff. They want their water bowl full. They want their feed bowl full. They don't want to be bothered about bath time. They want to have somebody to care about them. And beyond that, that's the extent of their existence. Pretty simple life when you think about it. Not so man. We think about all different kind of things. And I'm afraid, even as Christians, we worry about all kind of things in the future. We're awed by it. We are perplexed by it. We are puzzled by it. And rightly so. It's the great unknown, and it really represents unlimited potential for either good or bad. I was thinking, Brian, as I was preparing for this message, back to my early days, and particularly as a teenager, I really wrestled with being young. I didn't want to be young. I'm an old soul. I have been an old soul all my life. And I just longed for the day I could be on my own, married, independent, not having to put up with anybody's rules and regulations but my own. And I would tell you that since the age of 19, that's pretty well described to me. I'm grateful to God for our loving parents who did their best to instill within me the proper kinds of values and a God awareness, and I never escaped that. But I would also tell you that I was greatly blessed. I was thrilled with the prospect that when at 19 years old, I left home and was been on my own ever since. And I'm grateful for the ability that God's given me to make a living somehow. My wife would tell you that wasn't always a given. In the early days of our marriage, she never knew when she came home whether I'd have quit my job that day. I had a hot temper and somebody spoke ill to me. I gave them a piece of my mind, and that's probably why I have so little left. And I'd just quit and walk off and within 24 hours have another job. I don't think I've ever been 48 hours without a job since I was 19. But I've had a lot of jobs, done a lot of different things. But during that time, there was a restlessness inside when I was lost. Even when I experienced some success by the world standard, I questioned, is this really all there is to life? I mean, is tomorrow just going to be more of the same? Is there not more to it? What am I missing? And then when I was saved, the struggle continued. What does God really desire from me? And even now I think, you know, is God pleased with me? What would God have me do that I'm not doing? What would God have me not do that I am doing? How can I be more pleasing to God? I think the questions are unavoidable because of the mind that God gave to us. We are destined to question. We know there's more than we can see. And yet we want proof. We want some tangible evidence and confirmation. What we're wrestling with is that God put eternity in our hearts. Ecclesiastes says, just read for you. What does that mean? Well, the word eternity is olam in the Hebrew. It means that which is without beginning or end. The continuation. Everlasting life. So God put an awareness that life continues on. That it never ends. We don't have to worry about not living. We're going to live forever and ever and ever. Every human who has ever lived is living right now. The question is where. But we desperately want to understand what the more to life is. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. And can't we all say amen to that? We have friends and neighbors, loved ones who are lost. And we try to talk to them about the things of God, and you just see they just glaze over. They're foolishness to them. They just can't comprehend it. Nor can he know them, Paul says. Not possible, because they are spiritually discerned. So many struggle with the question as to the meaning of life. Good news. I believe the meaning of life can be found in one simple verse of Scripture. It's one of the more profound verses I have encountered. And I would tell you, in my own personal journey and personal devotion, I have been pondering this verse for at least 6 months, maybe nine. I don't know exactly what God is showing me in that process, but I have meditated on it and pondered on it and studied on it and researched it. And I want to share it with you this evening, and maybe you can help me to provide some insight. I'd ask you to stand if you're able to do so. I'm in the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's New Testament. The 17th chapter, and I want to look at verse 3. Verse 3, John 17. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's great. Jesus is speaking. Here's what he said. And this is eternal or everlasting life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Please be seated. And as you do, join me in prayer. Father, thank you for the prospect of life that will never end in Jesus. Thank you that you put eternity in our hearts to drive us to know you, to bring us to the place of helplessness and hopelessness, such that we would surrender life and will to your Lordship. Thank you, Lord, that you are that loving, that you are that caring, that compassionate. Forgive us, Lord, where we are so stubborn and obstinate and determined to resist and reject you in many areas of our lives. Lord, help us to be fully pliable, to learn what it means to be clay in the potter's hands, to allow you to mold us and shape us and cause us to be that which you'd have us to be. Lord, preach through me now and set us free of every distraction, hindrance, or obstacle. I present to your truth. Lord God, I just pray that you might reveal yourself in this simple verse of Scripture, that we might understand the true meaning of life. And for all that you accomplish in this time we have together, we'll give you all praise and thanks, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Time is life's most precious commodity. We worry about accumulating wealth. Wealth is no good if you run out of time. We want to have relationships. We want to have loving, lasting relationships, but they don't do you much good when you've run out of time. Time is precious, and everybody has the same amount of it each day, 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds. You ever thought about that? Just ticking away. I'm going to consume quite a few of your seconds right here this evening. We all have the same amount of seconds every day. We don't accomplish the same thing with them. Well, I know people that are so organized, they just make you sick. They get so much done in a given period of time. And I also know people at the other end of the spectrum who get so little done, they squander most of their time and they wonder what happened. The truth of the matter is, we can muddle through life all we'd like to. The choice is ours. What makes the difference, preacher? Good question. I think the difference is coming to know God in a personal sense. Well, preacher, don't most people seek to know God? You know, I think a majority of people do. I would say most is safe. I don't think all, but I think the vast majority at some level seek for God, but few do it right. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father God but by me. And yet I know people, as do you, who are seeking to get to God through good works. who are seeking to get to God by being religious, who are seeking to get to God by being spiritually oriented, who are seeking after God through Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius or any number of religious leaders. Every one of those means is a dead-end street. Jesus Christ is the only true path to God, and we come to know Him by simple childlike faith. Well, then what does it mean to know God as Jesus prayed? Well, the word is gnosko in the Greek language. It means to know fully, to be aware, to have intimate knowledge, to perceive, to understand, to be sure of. It implies an intimate and abiding relationship. Now think about that. An intimate and abiding relationship. For that to be the case, you must understand something of God's nature to have an intimate, abiding relationship. Something of His demands and expectation. And that's possible in Jesus Christ because He's revealed Himself to us in His Word that reveals the very nature of Almighty God. But I would tell you that it takes time and effort to know the God of the Bible. I mean, I wish there was some way that you could just screw the tops of our heads off and pour all kind of God knowledge in and screw the tops back on and we'd just be spiritual giants. That just doesn't happen that way. You got to spend time studying, meditating, pondering God's Word. You got to spend time, as we talked about this morning, in prayer. You got to spend time striving to know God, to understand His plan and purpose, His expectations. No magic. It takes work. Not easy, but it's worth whatever it cost because it produces life's greatest reward. So I'd ask the question of this group tonight. Do you know God? Do you have an abiding awareness of His presence? Do you enjoy a oneness with God continually? You know, that's one of the benefits of being saved. We are never alone, which means that the Spirit of God is with me always. He'll never leave me, never forsake me, even to the end of the age. But when we do, there never has to be uncertainty in our life. Think about that. Think about that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" But we, who's he talking to? The church. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Well, if I possess the mind of Christ, there is no uncertainty. He said, wait a minute, preacher. You talked last time about God's answering yes, no, and wait. Wait is uncertain. No, it's not. No, it's not. The answer is definitive. God says, wait. You don't need to know that right now. I've got the answer. In time, you'll know the answer, but this isn't the time. So that clearly is defined in terms of knowing the mind of Christ. We can operate in His mind and eliminate uncertainties in life. That sounds appealing to me. I don't know about you. I don't like uncertainty. I don't like mystery. I don't like surprises. There don't have to be surprises with God. You say, well, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We know who holds tomorrow. We know that whatever we encounter tomorrow, we will encounter it with Jesus. He'll be right there. He's there before we get there preparing the way. And He's within us preparing us for the way. Good news. Life in Jesus lasts forever. You say, well, you've already stated that everybody's life lasts forever. Yeah, but His life lasts forever in the presence of the God of love. 1 John 5:13. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. He wants us to know. He wants us to have perfect peace. He wants it to be a completely settled issue. We are sons and daughters of God, and that cannot ever change. The good news is, everlasting life doesn't start when we get to heaven. Everlasting life starts in the moment of salvation. I'm already living it. Everlasting life. In the presence of God. And it can be as real to us now as it will be in heaven. Why? Because the presence of God desires to fill us to overflowing continually. And can we just be honest for a few minutes while we're in church and say, when that's the case, it feels like heaven. I mean, it's true. Have you had those God moments that you just feel like He's so close you can touch Him? And you're just right on the brink. You don't know whether to laugh or cry or to shout or praise the Lord or just exactly what to do because you're just overjoyed with His presence. Don't you think that's what heaven is? Don't you think it's that continually? It's just the joy of the Lord. And yet we can experience it. Well, preacher, we don't very often. And whose fault is that? Not God's. God is God all the time in us. But we just don't give God all of us. He's going to eventually get all the time. We play hard to get. We play games with God. We pull away from God. We fill ourselves up with self-will again. And that steals the blessing that is the presence of God. Don't lose your salvation. Just lose the joy. Lose the peace. Lose the gladness that ought never to be. We don't have to give in to those temptations. We don't have to have uncertainties in our life. That's because God is with us and He will see to it that our lives accomplish the mission He intends forever if we trust Him. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know. He wants to eliminate uncertainty that we can know we have everlasting life. But notice what I read for you in John 17:3. This is, not will be, this is everlasting life. That they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So does that describe us this evening? Don't get your hopes up, not done yet. Does that describe you this evening? I mean, do you just have that sense of overflowing? Yes, I am rightly ready to God and I'm just enjoying His presence continually. It can and it should. Well, preacher, what all can we really know about God? I mean, intimately so. All about Him. You say, you tell me humans can fully comprehend God? Didn't say that. A finite mind cannot fully comprehend an infinite God. But think of all the things that we can comprehend. He is the God of creation. You say Jesus was involved? Jesus is the God of creation. He spoke and all we know and love sprang into being from nothing. That's a powerful truth. You ponder that for a while. You probably can't resolve that in your mind in less than 6 months or a year. God spoke through His Son and all of creation sprang into being. He's the first and He's the last. Before anything is, God is. And after everything is gone, God is. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the friend that sticks closer than the brother Solomon spoke of. He's the lily of the valley. He's the holy God of Israel. He's the faithful shepherd. Aren't you grateful for a faithful shepherd that guides us through life? Helps us to avoid those poison weeds, Brian, and leads us to good, clean water to drink and lets us lie down and be at rest and peace. He is our source and our substance. He is our strength. He is our reason for being. He is the forgiveness for our sin. He is the help for our sin-sick soul. He is the resurrection in life. He is the constant companion. You can just go on and on and on and on of wonderful accolades describing our great God. And I would tell you, that's an exciting truth. Every one of them can be pondered for a long, long time. And the longer you ponder, the more meaning it has for you personally. He gives us those tidbits of knowledge about His nature that we can discover Him more and more. And just like with this verse with me for these months, He wants me to know Him more fully. And I want to. And it's possible. It just takes time. It just takes effort. But I would tell you it's worth it because nothing in life compares. Think about the greatest things in life. I'm almost reluctant to say what I think one of the greatest things in life is because I think I'll get a lot of scowls. But I think marriage is one of the greatest things in life. You ever thought about how wonderful the blessing of marriage is, where two people become one in the sight of God and can share life and be companions through thick and thin? I mean, I just think it's a wonderful thing. I am grateful to God for my sweet wife of almost 44 years. Wow, can you believe that? That's a long time. Who would have ever thought she'd have put up with me for 44 years? I thought 44 months was pretty much in jeopardy. And it probably was at one point in time. As she nods to the affirmative. You see that, don't you? Blesses your heart. I'm grateful for the blessing of marriage and a God-fearing, loving wife. And yet I would tell you that that great blessing doesn't compare to the relationship I have with the God of all creation. Doesn't compare. Not that I love her less than I should or could. But a relationship with God is the pinnacle of our existence. Think about the blessing it is to have children. And from my perspective, the blessing gets better and better as they get older and older. Leela thought the blessing was pretty good when they were little. She's not so sure now that they're grown and was really in doubt when they were teenagers. I love my daughters just to pieces. If I just do anything in the world for them, I think they are just terrific. One of the few times, or a few of the times in my life I've been speechless was at their birth, you know, and Leo's doctor, we were friends, and he knew I had the gift of gab, I suppose is a nice way to say that, and he would kind of tease me each of the three times. Don't you have anything to say? Can't. Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Yet, that doesn't compare to my salvation experience and my relationship with the God of all creation. Not all of you have grandchildren, but grandchildren are wonderful. They're so much easier than children. If you knew that ahead of time, you'd just skip children and have grandchildren. Because I'm telling you, it's great. We have a house full of them now. I was surprised yesterday when I got home. And I'm excited that they're there. But I'm excited they're not staying forever. I look forward to spending time with them. And I look forward to spending time not with them. They're wonderful. They're wonderful. You know, you can spoil them. You can give them candy when they're not supposed to have it. Gum, all this kind of stuff. You can let them watch TV when they're not supposed to. All those things. And then it's not your problem, right? Somebody else got to deal with the aftermath of that. I just plead ignorance. I didn't know. I'm old. I forgot. Whatever you want the excuse to be. You can't spank me. I'm the dad. But even my grandchildren can't compare to the preciousness of a relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. I think about some of the professional successes I've enjoyed in life and grateful for them all. And it just does something to you. It makes you feel good about yourself, which is exactly what God wants us to do, right? That was a joke. You should have laughed louder. Jonathan got it, but you know, of all the professional successes or accolades you might accomplish in this life, of all the fame or fortune you might amass in this life, doesn't compare to a relationship with God. I mean, think about that. I can talk to the guy that spoke all this into being. I can talk to the guy personally who holds the king's heart in his hand and directs it like a river water wherever he will. I can talk to the guy way more powerful than presidents and kings. I can talk to the guy personally who so deeply loves me, he was willing to die for me. I can talk to him personally. Don't have to go through some emissary or some third party. You don't have to send a text message, praise the Lord. And you don't have to talk to him on Facebook. You don't have to send him an email. You can talk to him, just like I'm talking to you. I'm telling you, nothing in this life compares to that great blessing. It's the thrill of a lifetime. I love to ride roller coasters. It's a great thrill. I like to ride in the front seat. And you just see the bottom drop out and you think, oh, my, I'm too old for this. It's a thrill. But the thrill can't compare to right relating to Almighty God. Nothing this life offers can even come close. It's not as though one is a 10 and one is an 8. Right relationship with God is a 10 and everything else is a 0 in comparison. There is no comparison because being rightly related to God is the meaning of life. And that's what gives us that sense of inner peace and joy. The God whose love is completely unconditional. I want you all to understand, I've repeated it numerous times over recent years, but you need to know God doesn't love you more when you're good and less when you're bad. God's love, perfect and completely unconditional, unrelated to your behavior and mine. God is love, and God expresses that to his children. God listens to us tirelessly. I told you my grandchildren are here. They love to talk to Papa. And I do try my best to listen. But it just goes on and on and on and on. And Lila will punch me and say, be nice. I said, I'm trying. But this is not going anywhere. We're just rattling. We're just wasting oxygen here. Can we just come to the end of the story? Net it out. I'm a net kind of a guy. I don't like all the details. I'm a big picture person. I'm so grateful God doesn't do that with me. There are a lot of times I just ramble with God. This morning was one of those times. I was in here pretty early and I just had some things to talk to God about, and after a while, I thought, you know, you've not really said much. You've not really asked anything. You've not made a whole lot of sense. And God doesn't mind. He listens tirelessly. He leads faithfully. Think about that. Your life's not uncertain in the least. God's going before you, one step at a time, leading in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And he will forever. Never going to stop. His leadership is effective forever. And he provides perfectly. Know what you need here tonight. Whether it's physical, emotional, relational, spiritual, financial, whatever it is, I'm telling you, God will meet your need. Period. There is nothing you'll ever encounter in this life that God's not sufficient for in your life. You say, well, I really think I need $1 million. Well, God must know you don't. If you did, you'd have it. Right? Because God is sufficient to meet our need. God will not give us anything that will harm us. But he'll give us everything that we need when we need it as we trust him. And that incredible God I'm talking about this evening offers himself freely to each of us who will simply receive him by faith. But you can't buy a relationship with God. You can't earn a relationship with God. And you can't inherit a relationship with God. It's a personal matter. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. You see, you might have been saved 100 years, or you might have just been saved a day. He didn't deserve either. God didn't save you because you were special. God saved you because God is special. And he's so special that he'll take very common people just like me and use us for his glory if we'll trust him. But you see, it's a matter of faith, which is a moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day proposition. And what better way to spend those 86,400 seconds than investing each one of them in faith? Faith in God. Faith in his plan and purpose. Faith in his word. Faith in his love. Faith in his provision. Faith in his presence. Faith in his power. Faith in his purpose. Faith in his meaning for my life. You see, that really is the only meaning that matters to my life. I can have all kinds of plans and did. God wasn't impressed. He had a different plan for my life. That plan matters greatly. And he's brought it to pass, and he is bringing it to pass. And it's a moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day proposition. Why? Because I know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. You can too. And I hope you do. But I would tell you, you'll only come to know him when you approach him by simple childlike faith. Because my Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. That's simple enough. And he rewards those who diligently seek him. God wants us to seek. God gives us the Spirit to convict us to seek more. God draws all people to himself, as I mentioned this morning, so that we can seek him. And when we seek, we find, but we seek by faith, believing that he is because he said he is. Believing his word is true because he said his word is true. And it's been proven faithful down through the ages. And unless we come to him that way, we don't come to him at all. So then the question for us to answer is simple. Do I know God, or do I just know about God? Huge difference. I know about many things that I don't know intimately. I know about many people that I don't know intimately. Knowing about God gets you nowhere, but knowing him gets you everywhere and reveals the meaning of life, which is unique and personal for every single one of us. I want you to understand that if you don't know God, no matter what else you've achieved in life, you're a failure. You're a failure, but you don't have to stay there. Because Jesus died for whosoever will. That includes you, it includes me, it includes us all. Accept him by faith. Believe on his holy name. Learn about him. Discover his truth. Develop an intimacy and a oneness of purpose with him that's only possible by faith. And then, having done so, be proactive in passing it on. Be willing to talk about God. Talk about God to your children. Talk about God to your grandchildren. Talk about God to your neighbors. Talk about God to your coworkers. Talk about God to the other saints at Grace Baptist Church. Talk about God to your Sunday school teacher. Talk about God to your pastor. Talk about God to your mom and dad. Talk about God to whoever. Why? Because it's the most worthwhile subject you'll ever discuss. And others need to know. And they can through us. Because we have discovered the meaning for life. And it's a personal relationship with the God who made us. How we choose, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the provision you've made that makes that possible in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word that speaks so clearly to our point of need and reveals your very nature. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that resides within us to guide us into all truth and lead us into those paths of righteousness we talked about a moment ago. And thank you, Lord, for a bright and blessed future. No matter what our circumstance might be, we know that something better awaits us in Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us where we have so much a sense of apathy about the things of God, where we take so much for granted the things of God. Help us, Lord, to have a heart for God and thereby a heart for others. Give us a willingness, an eagerness to tell our story and share our faith. And go before us and prepare hearts of those to receive it that we encounter on a daily basis, maybe at home, at school, at work, at play, that we might be effective witnesses for you. But Lord God, help us to ponder your truths. We might come to know you more intimately, more effectively, more faithfully. So that in that process, we can be a rich blessing to you as you so richly bless us. Father, have your way in this time of decision. Meet whatever need is necessary. And for all that you accomplish, we give you all praise and thanks. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand to your feet. If God has spoken to your heart, you've got a decision.